Welcome to the 365 Moosehead Centre Show, where we help you plan for change, prevent or fix, and stay informed. Today, we're going to highlight cumulative analytics for the SharePoint hubs. Roll it!
The following episode was recorded live on YouTube. Check out our website at messagecenter.show for all of our episodes.
How are you, Daryl? Are you refreshed from your weekend? you went on a walkabout, did you not?
Oh, just a little one. Yep. No, okay. It was well worth it. Went to a western beach in West Auckland. You really had to drive to get out there. Lots of windy roads, lots of beautiful New Zealand forestry, and then a black sand beach with huge waves that made me feel like I was alive. Yeah.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
I like you feeling like you're alive. That's wonderful.
Well, sometimes you have to really get out of the zone and the scene that we've been in. I've been in this room often, and now that we are at level one in New Zealand with COVID-19, do what we haven't been able to do for a while.
Right. I was telling someone, I don't know if it was Friday, I guess, or Thursday, but I basically said, I'm just tired of it all. I'm tired of these four walls. I'm tired of getting up and not knowing what day it is and not really caring what day it is because it's the same thing. It's like Groundhog Day, my friend, the movie, everyone. Bill Murray. I actually went this weekend and did a little fishing and enjoyed some sun out at the river. So I got away from the four walls. So it was good.
I honestly think there's going to be studies about this for years to come, about the psychological effects of what we've all been through, what we're currently going through, and the converging of other things that are happening around the world too. Anyway.
Well, what's the great part about it is, Daryl, is that our listeners and our viewers can come to our show and expect the same corny jokes and banter, along with learning about what's coming into their tenant in their Microsoft 365 tenant. So
now we're approaching that tolerance level now, where there are some of our viewers that just want us to get the heck on with it.
Bless their hearts.
Yeah. That was so sincere. Right, so let's bless them with first message, which we are. Remember our format. Our format, we are changing things up a bit because there is a lot of stuff that lands in the message center and things we're going to do in slightly different order. This message, it's all yours, Daniel.
Yeah, and let's, right off the top of the show, let's mention the viewer and listener survey for the show. Yeah. Please go to messagecenter.show/June poll. June the month, POLL. So go to messagecenter.show/June poll. Give us some feedback on the show format. We'd love to hear from you. We've already heard from quite a few of you, but we definitely want to hear from those that are taking in the show and have some input. So, all right, first message is MC215704, SharePoint default page templates. Now, let's cover what it is. Basically, as a site owner, you'll be able to create a page template and mark that as the default, meaning it will be the template that will show at the top for when people are creating a page on your site. I think, and so they'll still be able to pick other templates, but it'll be the one that's there at the top. I think this is a great for content owners to have some consistency, so that, you know, if you, it's really, you can have a template that's geared toward the purpose of your site, right? Because sites have different purposes, and you can have a template ready to go for people to use that is geared toward your content. So, you know, if you have a site where you're creating news articles or pages that are all have the same format, maybe it's the type of information you have an outline at the top as like an executive summary and then more detail at the bottom or whatever. Well, go ahead and create that page template and what you want the layout for your pages to be. And then when people start creating, it'll start that way. So I love this. It's a simple, I think, addition to the service, but I think it'll be used a lot for that consistency. Don't you agree?
I do, and I had been giving some thought to this topic recently. We are having the my site blogs removed, or rather the Delve blogs removed, so you don't have a place where you can just go and write about your own thoughts and use that as a place to share with the rest of your org. And I was reconsidering that again for a whole other purpose. I won't get into that. Okay. But the suggestion is use a communication site as a replacement for your blog.
Mm-hmm.
So this is an example, isn't it? You yes. may have a format for the way you want to do your news, your blogs. Yeah, that's good.
Well, and in that kind of vein, really what kind of blogs are organizations really wanting to promote anyway? And it's generally thought leaders or company leaders, right? And so it's not like you're going, in my opinion, in my experience, you're not going to have hundreds of blog sites of people, you know, creating blogs inside your company. It's probably going to be a dozen or less. I mean, obviously it depends on your company, but you're exactly right. Having the replacement for that was use a comm site. Well, this is a great way to build upon that. The release time frame for this one, is we want to mention this because it is a pet peeve. Starting to roll out to targeted release mid-June, which is now.
Well, it's today for me.
Yeah. And yes, and we'll standardly starting late June. I expect it to be completed by mid-July. So for those keeping score, this is a big red X for the SharePoint team meeting the 30-day requirement for giving notice to changes. For those that are keeping score.
It's a good thing we're not keeping score. I mean, we could get really fancy with that, but you know, we just like to point these things out.
So anyway, Daryl, the next message I think you wanted to talk about to do.
This puppy right here. Nothing flash to see in the message itself, but the gist of it is seamlessly share personal lists in To Do, not Microsoft To Do. It is what it's talking about, but they're now referring to it as To Do. Could be a character limit in the message. It's MC215678, and you have to think about this one as you read through it. What's the purpose of this update? Well, it's so that we can work from work-based to-do lists and our personal-based to-do lists from the same space. Now, what is it that's preventing us from doing that at this stage? If I think of the desktop experience today, you can add multiple accounts to the desktop, but it's a bit like the Teams experience. You got to switch between which account you're signed into and which you're, you know, which list you're maintaining, and therefore which list is going to give you reminders. So I've got my work, I've got a personal list, but I do spend most of my time signed into my work list. And the goal really is to bring the or make it easier for you to manage both lists without having to sign in and out and tenant swap, so to speak, between a commercial tenant and a personal. So the update allows me from my personal list to share that list into a work or organizational account. And that means I can be still signed into my work account. I can start working and contributing to that personal list, which I might have a few things to errands to run at lunchtime or on the way home for personal reasons. And I don't have to switch and swap around. I did say this was only the desktop experience though, Daniel. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's the big one here. I can see what you're talking about, the whole experience and having reminders and such from personal and not have to be switching, but that's the desktop experience, right?
Yeah.
What is it going to be like for, you know, mobile experience?
Yeah, well, even now, today, you can't put in multiple accounts. You have to sign in and out of things. So, I mean, I guess we'll see them chip away at this problem of being able to manage your lists wherever you are, whatever you're signed into would be really the end goal. But it seems like if I compare it to Microsoft Teams again, there's this ability to sign into multiple accounts, multiple orgs, mm-hmm. and you can get all your messages and do things from there. Whatever approach they use in there, they're not doesn't seem to be used in To-Do. But anyway, this is a step in the right direction. However, it is in only one direction. You can share mm-hmm. your personal lists with your organizational account. You can't share yeah. your organizational account back to your personal.
Well, just think how many people would freak out as an admin. Wait, what? You're sharing your work yeah. stuff with your personal account? This is, yeah, so that makes sense.
Give me a policy to block that.
Yes, immediately. Yeah.
And, you know, there may need to still be a policy to block the personal list coming back in the other way. I don't know. Not really. But there could be a reason. But there's that big assumption that you spend most of your time in your work to-do lists. So just bring your personal one in that matters to you.
Well, and I think this for me, if you'll allow me a minute here, I think sure. this kind of, if you think about how we are, and especially these days where more people are working from home now or have been for the past few months, now some haven't. Obviously, we have to, yes, there are people that have had to go into work throughout this, but you know, with this ability, you've really integrated your work life with your home life already, right? For a lot of us, we've been working from home and
it's part of the problem. Yes. Where are the barriers?
Right. And so maybe, you know, this is more of what we'll see is this joining of information of your personal and work. I think and we've seen some thoughts around Teams on this, right? So around, you know, Teams in the personal space and how those, you know, you could kind of imagine how more services like to do, is doing here could do this, right? Allowing you to use a personal account and sharing some personal account, information into a work account like this, you know, just because I think for better or worse, now I'm not providing any commentary on whether it's a good thing or not, but I think more and more people are not working 9 to 5 or whatever hours, you know, they are, but they're also bringing some of their personal life into their work 9 to 5 and need to just manage their life to make mm-hmm. that balance work. And so again, not saying it's good or bad, I'm just saying what it is. I think this type of process could help of bringing, you know, allowing you bring that personal information into your pain, your work pain, and not the P-A-I-N, but the P-A-N-E of information. Yes.
Yeah, I think because the other key concept with to-do is that you have a to-day list, and that to-day list could be a mixture of work tasks and personal tasks.
Well, and they can affect each other, right? If mm-hmm. you have a personal task of going to the doctor or a personal task of you need to leave early to go pick up milk or, I don't know, kids. You know, whatever it is. Yeah, I mean, you most certainly, those where those areas meet, you know, it really does make sense.
Yep. So that's due to come targeted release mid-June. Expect to be complete for all customers by mid-July. Yeah, we'll see how that plays out. And hopefully some of the other, like the mobile platform, will catch up too with that same experience for consistency. The next message for you, Daniel. Cumulative something.
Yes, sir. Cumulative analytics for SharePoint hubs. This is MC216129, and I'll go ahead and cover when it's happening. So this is rolling out late June, and hopefully be completed by the end of July 2020. So for those, again, who are keeping score, that's another nice red X for the SharePoint team for meeting the 30-day requirement. So what is this? The cumulative analytics, meaning all, so you have a SharePoint hub, and then you have you know, SharePoint sites that are members that are, you know, just joined to that hub. And what this is going to allow you to do is get the number of viewers, visits, unique viewers, the number of visits, the top sites and top content that are a part of your hub. And this, what I really like about this is it's kind of bringing back that, it's filling in a gap that used to, that had been created from when we went from using subsites to now using hubs and members of a hub. Whereas when I had a site and I had a bunch of subsites below it, I could still get analytics information from all of those sites. So now I'm able to do the same with a hub site, in that I'm able to get how many people are actually viewing content within my hub. How many are, you know, what are the top sites that are being looked at, and the, and as well as the top content. So I think this is fantastic. And by default, user, when you're going to a hub and viewing analytics, actually by default you will see the hub analytics. It won't be that site, that specific site analytics. It will be the hub analytics. I think, so this is great. It's pretty simple in that what we're getting here. But one thing I wanted to really call out is that it is not just site owners. It is also members that are going to be able to see this content. So hub site owners get to see it, but it's those members, and we're using the term member, whereas SharePoint uses members as a way of denoting someone who can edit and create content in a site too. So I think there's a little crossover going on here that I'm not sure that is very clear. But what I think it means is owners of a site that is a member of a hub will also be able to see the hub analytics. Mm-hmm. So it's not just the hub site owner, but it's also a site owner of a site that is a member of that hub. We'll be able to see this analytics as well, which I think for the most part I like, because I want everyone to be on the same page of what's going on and seeing this information. I know there will be some orgs that won't like that. They'll only want the hub site owner to be able to see the analytics. I already have a client in mind that I know they're not going to like this, but that's what it is. So yeah. That is rolling out this month, and it'll be completed by the end of next month, end of July.
All right.
And if you'll allow me, Daryl, there's actually another. Oh, I don't know.
Could you? Would you? Is it related? Must be related.
Yes, it's related. So there, we have another announcement this week in the Message Center. It is the average time spent per user report. Yeah. So,
it's like average screen time when you get your phone that says you've been spending on.
It's been down this week. Yay! So this one is MC216146, and it really is the simple what it's saying here. It's rolling out gradually, it says, rolling out mid-June 2020, and it'll be completed by mid-July. Yes, for those keeping score, that's the third red X. For keeping the 30-day notification. But for this one, it's really a simple report. Within SharePoint site usage, it'll have 7-day and 30-day periods. For now, it doesn't include 90-day. It's really a basic calculation that's going on here, and for those that do analytics a lot, you might actually pick some holes through this, but it is what it is. Really, the basic calculation is total time spent on a page divided by the unique visitors to that page. That's the simple calculation. It does not include lists, documents, or admin pages. So an admin page, for example, it gives in this much as I believe is the site usage report. That page won't be included in the calculation. And another gotcha is the anyone using the mobile app to view content, their usage will not be in the report. And it does say for now, so hopefully that will be included later. But I think this is, we've talked about this quite a bit on the show on how analytics is really important for site owners, especially intranet owners, understanding what I am doing, is it important? Are people actually using it? If I'm spending hours and hours on something, is it even worthwhile? So I like this, being able to see, great, I've had, you know, I don't know, 80% of the company view my page. Wonderful. Yay, I'm so excited. Average time spent, 3 seconds.
Maybe sounds that's like not the... some Google results or something on a website, right?
Right. So maybe it's not as great.
Your clickbait title worked, but your content sucks.
Maybe have a little bit better content at the top. You have a lot of skimmers where people just skim the page. Mm-hmm. So rolling out same time basically as the cumulative updates for hub sites. So I like getting more analytics. And really, if you look at the site analytics right now for SharePoint sites, SharePoint Online sites, it's really good. Some would argue it's not as great as it used to be with SharePoint on-prem back in the day, but it is getting really good. So, yeah.
I agree. You know, we create this content, we want to know that people are engaging it.
Yeah, I mean, it is about engagement, right? I mean, you've got to know.
That's right. And I know there's other ways to measure that too. Hey, this next one I've got, and I had to refresh myself with some of this functionality. We're improving bookmarks in Microsoft Search. There's your title, MC216108. More specifically, this is the real title. We're improving in bookmark administration in Microsoft Search. All right. What is Microsoft Search again? Oh, do you use Microsoft Search, Daniel?
Yes.
Yeah. What parts of Microsoft Search do you use, Daniel? I'm just being more specific.
I use the search parts.
The search box. Actually, you know what? If you're using the search box in any Office application, including, right. Actually, does Teams fall into this? Not really. Not yet. No. Not yet. No. Any Office application is using Microsoft Search.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Isn't that kind of cool? You can go to the top of Word and go, I want to find this colleague's name and find their phone number.
Exactly.
And give them a call.
It's pretty cool.
This is more about Microsoft Search, but from the Bing perspective. Let's just take a quick look again at what that was all about. Let me just make sure that this is all displaying correctly. That's us. And we'll go over to Bing. All right. What I have on screen, let's just change us on the other side here. And for those on the podcast, I'll try and talk descriptively. We've gone to Bing.com. And in my demo organization, I've activated Microsoft Search. I can go into the Bing search box and I can search for stuff that I might want to highlight to my people. Or they'll find people, they'll find documents, they'll find stuff that's going on there. You can actually see the filters down the side. And for those on the podcast, people, groups, sites, etc. When I begin to type something in the search box, I get a bookmark. And in fact, I've clued one in right there. I've typed the words my space site, which we'll have a look in the admin area, is actually a synonym for bringing up OneDrive, right? Because OneDrive, my site, was the old name for OneDrive. You'll see in the search box right beside that, it's a bookmarked result. And another way of talking about that, it is a kind of like a best bets or a highlight of results.
That's exactly. Yep.
Yeah. So it's making sure that we can promote, or promoted results is yet another way to talk about it. Mm-hmm. So that it's there and we are guiding people towards what we want. And that's coming up as I type. Now, there is no change to the user experience. It is all about the administration experience. And if we go into our admin center, we have, I'll just push this over to the other side again. We have, and we'll just blow that up a bit more for people in the recording, a whole lot of results that we wanted to bookmark in the admin center settings in Microsoft Search. And we're on the answers tab, where we are trying to coach people through towards the promoted answers. What has been added is a new column, which has disappeared because I've increased the magnification on the browser. But if we go further over, it's called the category set, the category column. We can categorize results for our bookmarks. And if you have got a very busy search team who like to promote and make sure that things are being promoted and easy to find for people. Look, there's some clever stuff in here too. You can schedule some of these promoted results to appear alongside an internal campaign so that the search result's going to make it easier for people to find stuff.
Yeah, for which is brilliant.
For you as an admin, you might want to have a bit of ease of administration by adding a category to some of these results. So I've just taken a few examples of Microsoft 365 apps, because you can just search a name and it'll give you the app, and then you can launch it from the Microsoft search box. I've got OneNote, Yammer, and the one that we saw on the screen before, which was OneDrive. And that's it. It's a category. It helps you organize stuff. It did make me want to go back and have a look again at some of the more amazing stuff that can happen here in Microsoft Search, but to be honest, I don't really use I think the last time I searched for something on a bing.com page, it was to demonstrate Microsoft Search, and it was just about a year ago. I know I'm being harsh.
Okay, but,
you know, how often do you use bing.com?
I actually use it a lot, I'll go ahead and admit it. When I started off using it, because I'll go ahead and admit it. Hi, my name is Daniel. And
it has been 2 days since your last search.
It has been 2 days since. So I started using it. Honestly, it wasn't for the search results. It was for the coins.
The coins?
Yes. So if you have a Microsoft account and you search in Bing, you get credits, rewards. Coins, and rewards. It's Bing rewards. And then you could cash those in for gift cards to real places, discounts to the Microsoft store, enter contests for Microsoft gear, like Xbox or Surface. I mean, so I really just switched it, and it is my default, which is... You know, some people talk about, well, you know, Microsoft Bing is often slanted toward Microsoft. I don't get that, really. I don't see that. But there are different results. So when you know, people who say, well, you should be using Google, you know, because it's a better search engine, maybe. But if they have different results, which they do, everyone agrees with that, then wouldn't you be using both anyway if you're really trying to do some research and trying to find things? And if so, then why does it matter where you start? Mm. Does it matter if you're in Google or Bing, if you're going to use both to try to find things and compare? And frankly, I get credits. I mean, I don't use them. I mean, it's not like I'm rolling in the gift cards, you know, because of my Bing rewards, but...
I just had this great picture of you there going fling, and you've got this fan shape with all these different gift cards going, yeah, baby.
This is because of my Bing rewards.
Dishing out all those gift cards.
But also, Bing has a beta functionality called is it personal pages? Huh. I think that's what it's called, where you can hook up your social accounts. You can create a personal page and claim it, and then hook up your socials accounts and such. And so when everyone goes to bing.com and does a search, like if you do a search for Daniel Glenn, then there's a high probability that my face will show up on the left-hand or right-hand side as a profile saying this is someone who whose name is Daniel Glenn. Now, it is also some regional stuff, but so I don't know. Daryl's doing it for those watching the podcast right now.
Oh, right. And, no, it's,
oh,
it's
because you're in work. To,
yeah, exactly.
We'll go to all. Go to all.
I'll go to all. All right. All this.
Yeah, go to Real Bing.
Real Bing. It looks nothing like you.
Yeah, and it didn't do it. It didn't show. But my account does, or my website does come up as the first site that you find.
This is good.
In the search results.
Nice SEO.
Yep, but I'm also able to promote my social. So Instagram and Twitter, I believe, are the ones that it can do now, which I'm not sure why it doesn't do LinkedIn posts. That makes the absolute most sense, but it doesn't do it. But it actually, they guarantee you 10,000 views of your ad within 24 hours.
That's it's an ad, is it? Is that
it shows up in search results. Yeah, when you're on the page, it shows. And so it's not a view of, like, if I promote a video, it's not a view of the video. It's just that it showed up on a page when someone did a result. So, or did a search. So anyway, that's a long story. We went down a rabbit hole, but I do use Bing as my default search browser.
Yeah, again, I'm using Chrome a lot more than Chromium Edge. Bing is the default search engine there too, isn't it? So if you are into using Chromium and you may have Microsoft Search enabled in your org, then that is a good match. A good match.
I do have over 22,000 Bing rewards right now. I don't know what that converts to, but yes, I just pulled it up.
Nice. Well, that was Microsoft Search. We've done the SharePoint average thingos, and then I guess there's this last one here about actionable messages for actionable message support for Outlook for Mac. And that is MC215870. If you've got into creating messages with adaptive cards, and that allows you to action them within the email itself, then this is now going to be supported within Outlook for Mac. It's something that we've been able to do from Windows and Outlook on the web. One question is if an organization's got into creating messages with adaptive cards like this, what has the experience been like up until now for a Mac? Do they see this garbled something or this rich text or plain text formatted something? Not sure. But looks like we're all equal par now. So Outlook for Mac, enjoy.
Which we're able to. Sorry, go ahead.
You just be able to respond to certain things like expense reports and give a couple of other examples there.
Surveys.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We are all about consistency, right? On the show, at least I am. And so bringing features to Mac, bringing features to mobile, you know, I think I'm all about it. So that's an awesome thing.
You know what? You consistently say that you're all about consistency, so I'll give you that.
Okay, great. So we did want to mention, right, as we kind of wrap up the items we want to talk about, that there are quite a few, 6 or 7 messages that in the Message Center this week that are really updates, and so you can go and look at those. Beware, if you're dismissing messages...
Like me.
Like Daryl... then you're not going to see these updates. Yeah. So don't be like Daryl. Be like Daniel, who doesn't dismiss messages. No, I don't dismiss messages because of things like this for updates and such that come along. I want to see what's going on, but it also makes messy the messages in that they're all intertwined with others. And so it is a little bit messier, but you get to see things like this week where we have 6 or 7 messages that all have the same phrase in them, and they say, and they're updates, to ensure the best possible experience for our users, we are delaying some of our deployments to reduce the amount of change flowing into the services. I like that, flowing into the services. So basically, they're all being delayed. And some of them were supposed to have rolled out in April, and we're just now getting an update going. Nope, not happening. Maybe in July. So I don't know if this is the blanket covering for when things don't meet the deadline, or if it's just that they actually have slowed it down and forgot to tell us. But there have been many updates that are being delayed because I guess there's too much change, which has affected our show, really. We've seen the change.
We have changed our show because of it.
And so make sure that you are keeping track of those updates, because, you know, if you went out and said, hey, users, we've updated our training, we've updated our help desk, we've told you here's something cool coming, and then it doesn't come, then maybe you should, you know, have a list of those things. So for when people start asking, wait, didn't you tell us this was coming? You'll know where it is.
Yeah. And, you know, you talked about a few messages this episode where they got a red cross because they didn't give enough warning. You know, maybe some of those have been delayed in the past as well. They've got to. Yeah. Anyway. That's it. That's the week. Our format has changed, as you've seen, but hopefully it's helped to allow us to get a little deeper into some of these messages and give a bit more context of what's going on.
Make sure you fill out the poll to give us feedback. Right. messagecenter.show/June poll.
And do we plan to like do something of a roundup of what people have said?
Okay.
Yeah. I dropped that one on you.
Sure.
All right. Well, thanks very much. We'll see you again next week. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.